Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Minnesota bringing four. Ryan stepping up. Matt thought about it. Now gives ground. Going to flip it down the field. It's caught, Jones. Julio 10-5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Amazing. Ryan looked like he was going to tuck and run and backed up 3 yards and softly flipped it to Jones for the touchdown.
Everybody, every coach, every trainer, you got to play this game from the neck up. I don't care who you are and what you're doing. So how you get rid of those things is just your mental toughness. It's always going to be a mentality before it's a reality. And I can't wait to go home and think about what we're going to do the next time we're in those situations or the next situation that comes up, and to think about those things and how they can come when you talk to your staff and you talk to everybody that's in charge of your game management, how you want to manage the game and how you want to end games. Those are the things you got to look forward to as a coach.
As the sun begins to set in the southeast, we rise the curtain on week number 8 of the National Football League season. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, as well as the radio.com app. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas back here with you for about another hour and a half as we get you ready for the Falcons and Panthers tonight. Second meeting between these two squads. Panthers won the first time around 23-16. One question about last week's game, Hugh Douglas. I understand, you know, take the result out of it and even take the way that the final 1 minute and 23 seconds of the game played from at least the beginning of the game up until that point where we had the final sequence. How do you believe the Falcons handled their game and handled themselves? Because while they were in a position to win the football game, I don't know if there was a whole lot of comfort in the way they played, but if there would have been an encouraging sign for a victory, if they would have gotten one, it would have proven to me that they could win a game ugly. The only win they had this season was a win with Minnesota, where they played basically flawless football for all four quarters, save for one fumble. But that Lions game, it would have been an ugly victory, but it would have been a victory nonetheless.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that this team has to learn is they need to learn how to finish. And I think that when they do that, they'll build a lot more confidence. When I see this team play, Willie P., excuse me, one of the things that kind of jumps out to me and where it kind of looks like is that they get to the point where even they are starting to wonder what's about to happen, where it's about to go wrong for us. And you have to fight against that. I know it's tough, you know, being in a situation at the end, but you have to fight against that a little bit. And you have to believe in yourself. And I think that right now that's a little bit of that is going on as well. But, sometimes – and you have to realize, man, hey, sometimes you got to win ugly. You know, but this team right now, for all the guys that have had success in the past, they're not having success right now, and you have a great mix of young players. They need to learn how to finish, and they need to learn how to build that confidence as much as they possibly can, because it's going to be tough. It's not going to get any easier. You know, when you talk about the teams that we got coming up and that we're going to have to play, it ain't about to get no easy. If anything, it's going to get harder. It's going to get a lot harder moving forward.
We'll run through the injury report in just a moment, but I wanted to stop down on one thing about this team's inability to finish. It's not just in games, but it's at the end of both halves, because you think about that drive at the end of the first half against Detroit, giving up 3 points and having them drive down the field almost as flawlessly as they did at the end of the game in regulation, it just, to me, those are points that you cannot give up when you have a team with the kind of razor-thin margin for error like the Falcons do.
Yeah, and that's the problem, Willie P. I mean, you know, you're talking about a team that, right, for whatever reason, is not performing. And for you to make mistakes, you're shooting yourself in the foot. And, you know, some of that you could probably say is on coaches. But I would say this, and not trying to throw the man under the bus, but when you have on video the quarterback telling you not to score, mm-hmm. and not to run it in, and you do it anyway, people kind of look at that, and that kind of strengthens the narrative of you're not that bright as a football team. And I'm not saying that Ty Gurley's not a bright man. And it might have been a heat-of-the-moment thing. And I even went so far as to say it looked like that, you know, the momentum carried him in there because he knew that he had to stop. You know, it's just a series of unfortunate events for this team. But right now, that's the narrative.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, I hate to sound dour. I don't want to sound dour. I want to be optimistic. I want to think that we can win this football game. But you said something during our look around the NFL segment that kind of hit me in a certain way. And you might have answered it in a couple of the questions I just asked you, but it's going to be a simple question with a complicated answer. How did we get here? How did we get to 1-6? Like, never in my mind did I think it'd be this bad.
You know what, Willie Peter? Great question. Because you look at this team and what they've been able to accomplish in the past, you know, going to the Super Bowl, Coach Quinn coming here having success. And then all of a sudden, the wheels just fall off the wagon. I mean, they just fall completely off the wagon, and you're looking like, damn, what the hell happened? And for lack of a better description, it just seems all of a sudden like we just got kind of dumb, you know? Mm-hmm. Not calling the players dumb, not doing that. But when you look at some of the same things, again, I have to say, happening over and over again, week in and week out, that's the only word that I could use to describe it, bonehead plays. Bonehead, exactly. Bonehead plays, and I know Coach Moores is stressing this to these guys and telling them what to do and things of that nature. But for whatever reason, when you get into those moments, you tend to forget. You blank out. You blank right. out, and you don't get them done. Can't have that. I mean, because the margin of error in the NFL is too small. And you know, you put yourself in a bad spot, which we are already in, when you do things like that, man.
Certainly do. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm blinded by the track records of a lot of these guys. And by the guys, I mean like the superstars, the Matt Ryans, the Julio Jones, Deion Jones, Todd Gurley, Keanu Neal, guys of that ilk. I don't want to sound like I'm blinded by the track record of these guys, but is it a situation where, whether it's us or Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, Arthur Blank, Rich McKay, whoever, did we overvalue where these guys were at this particular point in their careers, or are they better than what their record says they are?
You know, that's a tough one, Willie P, because, you know, I'm from that old Bill Parcells school. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. know what Bill Parcells used to say all mm-hmm. the time. And I hear what you're saying, and the only thing that I can tell you is this. Right now, you don't, like, in the NFL world, you don't look like the brightest team out there.
You're right.
You just don't. You just don't. I mean, you don't look that bright. And I know that that's not the case. I know that, you know, Ty Gurley is a smart guy. I know that these guys are smart. Grady Jarrett is a smart football player, high football IQ, all of these guys. But right now, when you look at it week in and week out, it's tough to make a case for anything but what we see. And right now, to answer the question, you are what your record says you are.
Exactly. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons and Panthers, 8:20 tonight in Charlotte. Falcons did get a sweep last year of this Panther team. They're trying to avoid Carolina doing that to them this upcoming season. Of course, one thing that is an encouraging sign for Atlanta is the fact that they will not have Christian McCaffrey again for the second time in facing them. Well, the problem with that is, Hugh, is that the Falcons may McCaffrey's replacement, Mike Davis, looked like every bit the type of superstar that he was. It was basically the only game this season where he looked exemplary. He had 89 yards on the ground and also 60 yards receiving on 9 catches. So a total of almost 150 all-purpose yards, including a receiving touchdown. The Falcons made him look like a superstar. Nobody else has done that.
Yeah, we got to stop that guy. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure he's coming in here and he's looking at it, you know, when you talk about him having the most success against us, he's looking at a chance to get back on the positive side of things. You got to stop that guy. You can't have him coming out here having good games against us. So, because he's probably looking at that like, yeah, I own this squad. Yeah, you got to stop that today.
Panthers come in as a walking wounded team. Marquise Haynes, F.A. Odamba, Zach Key, John Miller, all questionable for the game tonight. Russell Okung, who you and I talked about in great detail, has been downgraded to doubtful going into this game with a calf injury. If he does not play, they'll have to turn to Greg Little to try and at least patch up things on the left side, which could mean, and again, I'm only saying could, because we've been looking for any opportunity for Dante Fowler to show up and look like the guy that we signed during this offseason. He has not looked like that. He has been a massive disappointment so far for the Falcons, even though last week he showed signs of brilliance.
Yeah, but listen, I need Dante Fowler. Tackles in the backfield are great. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from that, because that helped out. That helped out tremendously. But that's not what you're paid to do. That's not what you were brought in here to do. You were brought in here to get to the quarterback. And to say that, you know, guys are being hurt, Dallas Cowboys came into a makeshift line. We came up there with a makeshift line and still couldn't get to the quarterback. So I'm not too confident in this team being able to get to the quarterback. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I need Dante Fowler to have a Crystal Burger type day. I needed him to get some sacks.
Yes,
get some sacks of Crystal Burgers, baby. That's what I need.
You silly. You silly.
Falcons keys to the game coming up on the way. We're also going to talk to Steve Ewing, the president and CEO of Wade Ford, later on this hour. We're taking you for about another hour's time till 6:20, when we hand it off to Chris Goforth and to Harry Douglas for the countdown to kickoff. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P. Hugh Douglas, continues on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, worldwide at radio.com.
Running fast, playing great at all times.
The pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Anderson in motion. Atlanta shows man. Bridgewater, the quick throw, and this is DJ Moore running away from the Falcons down the far sideline. Moore stays in bounds and will score ahead of Isaiah Oliver.
Really, my mindset is, you know, whenever the play is called, no matter first, second, or third down, you know, it just so happened to be third down, you know, my job is to go out there and make plays, you know. Whether a team playing man, playing zone, my job is to make plays, you know. How I get involved in the offense is by getting open, you know, giving the quarterback another outlet, you know. So, you know, I just try to keep winning and keep the drive going.
That is Curtis Samuel. Of course, the touchdown was DJ Moore. A lot of guys had some pretty big games in that 23-16 win for the Panthers. Last time these two faced each other back in week number 5. The game, of course, that spelled the death knell for Falcons head coach, or then Falcons head coach, Dan Quinn. Samuel that day had 5 catches for 36 yards. You heard the DJ Moore touchdown, 57-yard variety, 4 catches for 93 yards for him. Robbie Anderson had 8 catches for 112 yards, as Teddy Bridgewater completed 27 of 36 passes for 313 and a pair of scores. If there is a key to the game, it's back to that particular scoring play. That scoring play happened with 2:30 to play in the opening half. They got another touchdown right after that, Hugh Douglas. And you think about the other play that was the big backbreaker, at least the other drive that was the big backbreaker. That was the 14-play, 76-yard drive that encompassed about 7.5 minutes of the fourth quarter. That was after the Matt Ryan interception. They took the clock from about 8 minutes down to 1:10 and really killed off the ball game and didn't give the Falcons a chance to get themselves back in. By the time they got the ball back, it was too late.
Yeah, no quarter. That's basically what it was. No quarter. They didn't give them any quarter, man, and you can't have that. This Falcons team needs to figure out how to finish games. That is the biggest thing that jumps out to me, is that they don't finish games. You need to do that, you know, because You know, and people always talk about the offense and what the offense isn't doing and what they need to do. I understand that because when it goes bad, you tend to follow the money. And, you know, when you talk about this Atlanta Falcons team, most of the money is tied up on the offensive side of the ball. And you look at those guys to score. But defensively, you have to know how to stop teams. And you have to give your defensive coordinator confidence that you have the pride that you're going to go out there and you can be like, no, not today, not on my watch. And this defense has had plenty of opportunities to show that, but they haven't shown it. And that's, to me, has been the most egregious thing about this season so far, is that this defense has been given opportunities to show that they are a high-caliber group, a group that you can depend on, and they haven't done it. They have not done that at all. Have not done that at no time this season. They have never put this team on their back and say, okay, we got this. You know, it hasn't happened.
And the other part of this too, Hugh, is that when you think about what Carolina does offensively, it kind of plays into the hands of what Atlanta wants to do, because Atlanta does play a lot of zone, and because Carolina struggles in anything that's beyond the intermediate passing game, a lot of it's quick and short and intermediate, the Falcons feel like they can keep a lot of things in front of them and bend but not break. I don't think that's the way to beat this football team. I feel like the way you beat this football team is you got to be aggressive. They did not put Teddy Bridgewater on the ground 2.5 weeks ago. He did not get sacked. He had 3 rushes for 3 yards on scrambles, but outside of that, he was not touched. He had a clean uniform. That white uniform was clean as bleach when it came to Teddy Bridgewater against the Falcons. And it wasn't because they played on turf. It was because they did not hit him at all.
And the thing that jumps out to me is that with that Carolina offense is that, you know, they didn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And they did a tremendous job of taking what the defense gave them. You know, they didn't get outside themselves. You saw they were, for the most part, they were in manageable downs, and that's what happened. And a lot of times, to me, Willie P, it looked like, you know, they would run plays, and if they didn't hit, it almost felt like they was like, you know what, don't worry about it. We'll come back to that. Don't worry about it. We'll get that. We'll get that one on the next one.
They had a plan.
Yeah, we'll get that one on the next one. While you're playing, it feels like that most teams that the Falcons are playing have that kind of mindset. Hey, you know what, don't worry about it. We'll get them with the next one. Because we know they can't stop it. I mean, and that's just how it feels. That's how it feels right now.
If there's one thing that I think was an encouraging sign, is that was the best game, at least this season, that the Falcons ran the football. They ran it 24 times as a team for 166. It's the only game this year that Todd Gurley had that was over 100 yards on just 14 carries. He ran for 121 yards and a touchdown. That's 8.6 yards a carry. But even with that, Hugh, they abandoned the run, and a lot of that had to do with the game situation. But when you run it 24 times for 166 and you throw it 37 for 226, something doesn't add up to me. You needed to run the football a lot more than you did, because you made things incredibly hard for yourself, especially when you got it close to the goal line and Ryan throws the pick.
Yeah, now that one is kind of hard to explain. I was thinking, like, off the top of my head, though, maybe it's because you didn't really trust your defense, or maybe you felt like, you know, you had to hurry up and score. I don't know.
No further than last week and say you didn't trust the defense, Hugh. Again, yeah, I'm not trying to dump down your throat.
But it's been like that for every week. This defense is the type that, you know, when you're like, I wouldn't take this defense to a street fight with me. Y'all can't go. Like, if I had a street fight, this ain't the defense that I'm taking. I had to say, yeah, you know what, y'all go ahead and sit this one out, player. Y'all can go ahead and sit this one out, because I'm going to go ahead and take somebody else. I'm not taking y'all.
I said this about Julio Jones, and I've been getting a lot of criticism from people because of the way that I've talked about Julio Jones. And it's not that I don't think Julio Jones doesn't put up numbers. It's not that I don't think that he is an elite wide receiver and will be counted among this generation's best when it's all said and done. I need it to add up to a win. Like, that's the part of this. And again, we've only really seen that in one game this season, and that was the Minnesota game. I need his production to equal the win. I don't need those numbers like Matt's are a lot of times to be empty numbers and garbage time numbers that come in the latter part of a game because a team is down and you're forced to throw.
I mean, that's not really Julio's fault, though. I hear what you're saying, but that's not his fault. I mean, I think it's just that Julio has become, right now, with everything that's going on with this team, he's become that guy that is expendable because he's a piece. As good as Julio is, he's looked at now as a guy that we probably need to move to help make this team better. I mean, and that's just the situation that we're in right now.
And that has nothing to do with his ability, Hugh. It just has to do with what he's
paid.
It's just that
and the fact that when you talk about the assets that are on this football team, he's an asset. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the few assets that you have that anybody else would even consider taking for a first-round draft pick at this point. He's the only one that you have. And when you talk about a team that – when you talk about the long haul or the bigger picture, like we always talk about, he's a guy that you have to consider moving on from in order to – for longevity. You know, Calvin Ridley is not Julio Jones, but he's a damn good player.
He is.
He's a really, really good player. And when you think about the receivers that are in the NFL, follow me a little bit. When you think mm-hmm. about the receivers that are in the NFL, there are more Calvin Ridleys than there are Julio Joneses.
Agreed.
And when you know, Julio Jones is a once in a lifetime generational kind of guy. So you trade him, and I said this, if you're going to trade him, and I know he wants to be here for the rest of his career, and you know, normally that does not happen. But if you do, I would want him to go to a team that's a contender. I mean, and sure. I know you can't – that there's no way you can control that, but I think that he deserves that. I really do, and that's what I would try to do. But right now, he's an asset, and I need to get better.
We've mentioned this over the course of our Wade Ford Tailgate show with the injury report. No Tack McKinley tonight. The rumor mill is about possible Falcons who could be on the move. McKinley not playing because of that groin injury that's been bothering him. Many people believe that he aggravated it in the Detroit game. Has Tack played the last game that he's played with this organization? Do you think he's traded by Tuesday's trade deadline?
Traded for what? Traded for who? What you going to get? Seriously, no disrespect to Tack, but what you going to get for Tack? Who going to trade you for Tack?
I don't disagree with you. I'm just asking the question.
No, I know you. I know. Hey, Willie P. And I'm not trying to be hostile, but I'm like, are you serious?
Do I have permission to treat Hugh Douglas as hostile, A. Gordon?
Are you serious right now?
You did that right. You did.
Yeah.
That to
are you
me
serious
last
right now? Yeah.
Turn about his
serious?
Fair play.
Yeah.
Turn about his fair play. No, I'm with you. When Everson Griffin only gets a 6th-round draft pick, I don't know what you can get for Tack McKinley. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's what I said this morning when John asked me that exact same question. So I'm glad you and I are in concert with that. A guy who we're also usually in concert with is our man Steve Ewing, the president and CEO of Wade Ford, one of the reasons why we're here. He joins us next for his weekly visit with us, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the Falcons, and radio.com.
Go, go, go!
Time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is that time of the week, Hugh Douglas. Alongside yours truly, Willie P. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. To get our weekly dose of wisdom from our pal Steve Ewing, president and CEO of Wade Ford, on the aptly named WadeFord.com hotline. He joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the Atlanta Falcons. Good evening, Steve. Happy game day Thursday to you and yours.
Steve, how you doing, man?
Great. Willie P., man, I don't know, man. I tell you, so I don't want to get hit with two storms. So my business today, I wake up this morning and we hear everything sound like the roof is coming off the house. And I wake up and there's leaves and trees all over. And then I get to work and there's no power.
Oh, no.
And so all my employees got a good day off today. They went home and did whatever they did because we can't function without power. But I will say everybody was prepared and everybody was ready to go to work. And unfortunately, something Mother Nature had another thing in store for us. But what I wanted to say was I was laughing because I really want to repeat what Mr. Douglas said. He said that if he was going to get in a street fight This ain't yes. the, these ain't the guys of a call. What exactly did you say, Hugh?
Yeah, that's it. I ain't calling this defense. If I had to fight, if I had to call a fight, Steve, I ain't calling none of these cats because they ain't gonna finish the fight. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So I must tell you that really stuck home with me because at the end of the day, Hugh, I know you, and if people don't know you, you know, Hugh is a sweetheart of a man, but he's a powerful dude. And at the end of the day, if you're in a bar fight, man, you know that he's going to be one of the people to go all the way down. I hope it never happens. But this team, for me today, Willie, I sat back and last weekend, I had the game in my hands. I had the game in my hands. And everybody else did. And unfortunately, this happened again. And I don't know how much more we can do to Mr. Blank. I mean, this man, and I really am an Arthur Blank fan, because when you do everything you can for the people who work for you and you give them everything they need to succeed, you know, it's so disappointing. It's so disappointing. And we don't know how many more times ever that we'll get a chance to be at the Super Bowl or anywhere else. And for us to have to be in this position, Willie, it's just a sad state of affairs. And I don't know how any other way to put it. It's just very sad.
Well, it's interesting. And we were sitting here a week ago Sunday, or at least earlier Sunday, talking about that opening win against Minnesota. And, you know, I was trying to take a measured approach, and I was getting called out by people saying, "Will, you're being too negative. Will, you're being too negative." I said, "It's one game, guys. It was one game against a team that I thought that we were head and shoulders better than. I still think we're better than the team that we lost to on Sunday with Detroit. I still think that we're better than the team we lost to with the Chicago Bears. I think we're better than this Panther team talent-wise, but you can't prove it on paper."
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing. At
18 days ago, we played this team. Is that correct?
You're correct.
Right, about 18 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the fact that they're coming in, that we're in a position now where we have to go back now and we have to see these guys, I don't know what to say. I'm at a point where I just want the team to do their job, man. We say this every time, every weekend, and we start to be, this show would be a lot more fun if we were talking about winning football.
Right.
It's real difficult to be standing here for you guys to talk for the Wade Ford pregame show, to be talking about all the things that are wrong, all the things that might have happened, all the things that we wish would happen. And we still got a lot of season left.
Yeah.
We still have a lot of season left.
Just like you, though, Steve, I ain't going to try to sell you a lemon. You know, that's kind of the way this works. I wish I could be optimistic. I would like to think we can win this football game, but I also struggle to comprehend what this organization and this team is capable of, because I feel like a broken man in a way. I feel like my confidence, my trust, my faith in them, a lot of that is broken right now, and I feel like a lot of Falcon fans feel the exact same way, yourself included.
Hugh, and the finger pointing going on in the locker room now, Hugh. I mean, real finger pointing.
You know what? I'll say this, Steve. I think that, you know, there's this is a mature group, and they're not going to do it publicly. But privately, when you know, when you get home, you're talking to your wife, and you like, you know, we call it pillow talking. I think it's some pillow talking going on at home now. Now, whether or not that gets out, that's one thing. But, yeah, it's some pillow talking going on at home, because it's like you're out there and you're doing your job, Steve, and other people aren't pulling their weight. Now, that's not the way that you handle it. You know, everybody, you know, it's something. Am I my brother keeper? All that good stuff. But at the end of the day, when you're out there and you're busting your hump every week, you're human. And when things like this happen, you're frustrated. And I think that they're doing a tremendous job of keeping it in-house. But, yeah, this is very frustrating. This has to be very frustrating for everybody that's involved.
My issue is this. You get to a point in your life, you get to the point where you are now messing with my family's livelihood. Mm. And there's certain things in my life I can tolerate. There's certain things I'll never tolerate. And somebody who's not trying to help me or to hurt me and my family and my growth, I take it personal. So, yeah, it shouldn't be out in the media, and, yeah, it shouldn't be. But I surely, if I knew I was doing my job and I knew on film and I knew the stats, I'd be that guy. I'd be that guy where you can't talk about me, pal. You got to get on your job and do your job. And that's what we need to have happen. So I just wonder, man, if that's what's going on in this locker room. I mean, I saw an interview with Todd Gurley. I didn't know if it was real or fake, but it was disturbing.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, I feel like, and I'll stop down on Gurley because I feel like he's the only person out of anybody who really has shown any kind of, you know, ticked off emotion. And again, I know that we pride Matt Ryan on the fact that he's very measured and the fact that he didn't throw Todd under the bus after what happened with him scoring unintentionally at the end of the game on Sunday against Detroit. But I almost feel like the fan base need to see somebody get a little ticked off. Like, I feel like that has to happen because I feel like we're all sitting here and looking at this and we're saying this. And I'm not saying that we have to have, you know, guys throwing chairs in the locker room or any kind of brouhaha breakout. But I do feel like this needs to show – you need to show me that this means something to you, that this is unacceptable. And I understand that part of that happened when you fired Dan Quinn 2 weeks ago. But at the same time, I'm wondering just where – the avenue is for this team to get back to where I think they're capable of.
Well, it looks like the GOAT is screaming at people down in Tampa. If you don't do your job down there, he makes it very clear.
He does.
And the players are reacting because of it. And he has full permission and support from the front office, I'm sure.
But he can do that because he's got skills.
Yeah, he got that. He got, Steve, he got that pedigree too. You know what I mean? He got that pedigree. He got that pedigree. And, you know, it's a little different when you got a team that has underachieved for as long as that Tampa Bay Bucs did, especially last year. So they're gonna listen, especially when you have somebody that's coming in and barking out commandments like Tom Brady's doing right now.
And don't think he doesn't throw around the whole longest playoff drought in the National Football League thing in their phase two either.
Well, I must say this to you, gentlemen, and I mean this sincerely. I'm going to sit back and watch this game. The power did come up at Wade Ford, so we are open tomorrow, everybody. And we'll be able to take care of our customers, and thank goodness for – and by the way, a shout-out to the new CEO of Georgia Power, Chris Womack. Real proud of Chris. Congratulations.
So you're telling me you didn't make it to the game on Sunday, Steve? You weren't there with
not,
me?
My wife.
He wasn't allowed to go, man.
How was it, Willie?
Was it an experience, Willie?
It was – I'll say this. They made it incredibly safe. I know that people will say, you know, there weren't that many people there because probably a lot of people don't want to be there because of where this team is right now. But I will say the folks at AMB and Mercedes-Benz Stadium, from a customer service standpoint, social distancing standpoint, they were watchful when it came to people with masks. They were telling people to pull up their masks all the time when they had them down. I felt incredibly safe being there at the stadium on Sunday.
One of the safest places in Atlanta, man. You had somebody said that you know, they did everything right, but the fact of the matter is, when you put 6,000 people in a 60,000 person stadium, you're pretty safe to stay away from people.
It was safer than being in a restaurant. I'll say that
For sure. Anyway, guys, listen, I'm gonna let you go. I do appreciate this, and I look forward to speaking to you soon, man. God bless both of you guys. Stay safe, stay healthy. Please wear a mask, and we'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Have a good one, Steve.
Now we're talking about a win, Steve. Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
That's Steve Ewing, president and CEO of Wade Ford. Good to know that they got power back and they'll be back open tomorrow to serve you for all of your Ford car and truck needs. And also be sure to pre-order that brand new Bronco if you are so inclined, like Hugh is, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm inclined. I'm definitely inclined.
We have to get him to take us out on a test drive of one of those.
Definitely got to go. Definitely got to make that happen.
We have to set that up.
Can't
with
Steve. Wait. Can't
we'll make that
wait.
Happen. Our final thoughts as we get you ready for Falcons and Panthers. We're taking you for about another half hour's time up until a 6:20 start time for the Countdown to Kickoff show with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. Willie P and Hugh Douglas back with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Panthers and Falcons kickoff of week number 8 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.